place in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to pick up the reading here. In verse number 6, he said, "For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." One more time. Brother Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Yeah, Lord. How are you today, Lord? Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Every day that you give, Lord. Every day that you give.
Yes.
I'm just asking, Lord, to be Brother Chase today, Lord, to bring your word to us. Lord, our hearts to be open, our minds. Lord, to receive your word, say it be good. Be back to your house again today. Lord, we just ask the Lord to be with the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones that are troubled times, Lord, is having problems, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I just ask all these things in your holy and sweet precious name, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of complete through suffering. There's two things that make you perfect or complete in the Bible. And number one, the Bible talks about being complete through the Scriptures, and the Bible talks about how that the Scriptures are able to make you perfect throughly. A lot of times I'm bad to pronounce that word thoroughly, but I've heard it pronounced that way so many times. But it's throughly, through and through, throughly furnished, and all good things. But hey, that's the worst thing we do. We'd be all right, ain't that right, Brother? But then you have complete or perfect through suffering, because this is what the Apostle Paul talks about in verse number 9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So there's a perfection that comes through suffering. There's a story about this lady who had a son, and he was kind of impaled. He was kind of handicapped, and he couldn't do anything but really just sit around and watch TV. And just he could sit in the house and do things in the house, but he couldn't really get around. But he wanted to work. And she had been talking to some friends about the guy, and you know, can you find a job for my boy? He really can't do a whole lot, but he wants to do something. And so anyway, she finally talked to enough people. One guy said, "Hey, I got a job for him. He can be a security guard. If he needs anything, he can radio for help. But all he's got to do is sit in here in this guard shack here, and he can watch these cameras and you know, give out papers here." And I thought, man. Even people, look, you got some people who will sit around and hold up a sign, get told money. There's something you can do.
Right.
Now, in the Lord, God will use anyone who is available. The trouble is, so many people nowadays won't make themselves available. They wonder why they're not used. They're not available anymore. People are so busy, they're not even available. There's nothing wrong with being busy. Look, the rest of us they're busy. We all got things going on. We work. We try to pay our bills, and we try to have family time. But if you're not available, you're not even in the category. Anyway, I was talking to one guy, and man, I just really loved to hear his preaching. He and I were talking about how he got to the place where he's going from this church to that church and stuff. And he said, "You know what I realized?" He said, "I realized I had to be available in order for God." Look, God will use you. But the problem is, if we're doing this and we're doing the other thing and we always got this going, we oftentimes people blame God, and God said, "Hey, I've given you a free will, and you've got all your... I can't even fit in your schedule." You got to be available. The Apostle Paul made himself available.
Amen.
To even be able to go through suffering with the Lord. All right, so there's some things about suffering that I think will be a help to you. And look, all of us are going... Look, the longer we're here, you're going to suffer.
Yes,
That's just part of the Christian walk. And if you're the closer you get to the Lord, oftentimes the more you suffer. Well, it may be on the inside, or maybe on the outside, or maybe both. But all of you are going to suffer some kind of way. So there's things in the Bible that show us things about suffering that help you get through it and understand more things about it. And one thing is, you're going to have suffering of unanswered prayer. In verse number 9, he prayed for this thing 3 times that it would depart from him. So that shows you, just because you don't get an answer to prayer in the way you think it is, doesn't mean that Paul got an answer to his prayer here. It just wasn't in what he thought it was. Okay, so oftentimes by revealing the trial's purpose, he says, lest I should be exalted in that verse right here. That oftentimes your trials have a purpose. His purpose in this trial was that he would be exalted. God was trusting him with all kind of mysteries and trusting him with Bible knowledge and things like that. So to balance him out so he wouldn't be exalted, God had to give him a thorn in the flesh, so he wouldn't get to a bad place in his life. So I thought about this thing right here. Oftentimes, there's things that would develop in your character if you didn't have that thorn in your flesh that would get you away from the Lord and make you fall. I read about an artist. And this man was on a scaffolding with a guy that was helping him. He was painting this picture and he was into his art. I mean, you read about this fellow. He was big time in his art. And he was bad to paint a little bit, and he would step back from it and look. And he would paint a little bit and step back. And so his buddy was on the other side of the scaffolding here, and he was painting, and his buddy had a brush in his hand, like swapping brushes out for him. And man, that guy was stepping back, and right before he stepped back, he knew he couldn't grab him, so he marred his painting with a brush. And that guy leapt forward like that right there. So you think about this, oftentimes God has to mar your picture so you'll step forward instead of stepping back. That guy knew he couldn't reach out and grab him right there quick enough, so he knew if he marred that picture, that guy would step forward. You know, oftentimes God allows our picture, the picture of the things we think things ought to be marred a little bit, so you won't stay back. Why? Oftentimes the things are just wonderful all the time. You'll just get so far back, you'll think, well, it's not going to change anyway. I'm just going to do just fine. You got to realize that oftentimes God will let your prayers go unanswered in your way to keep you from being exalted. If you always got what you think about a child that always get what they want, always get what they want, always get what they want, that's not a good thing. Sometimes God has to say no to a certain thing and not even have to explain it to you. Sometimes as parents, you have to tell your child something and say, they'll say, well, why? Because I said so. Some things they just aren't ready to understand. And some things they ought to do just because you're the parent. Sometimes God doesn't need to explain things to us. We wonder why this and why the other thing. And God said, hey, I'm God. This is the time for faith. Just have faith that I know what I'm doing. And y'all, sometimes that's how it is with prayer. You just have to have faith that God knows what He's doing. We all pray for loved ones. We got lost loved ones and folks that we wish that would change their ways, and folks that we wish that things were different, and things we wish that were different in all kinds of areas of our life. But if we're praying about it, that's all we can do. I mean, that's the main thing. Well, we know God's involved, and we know God's able. So we know that it must be something that has a revealing purpose to it. And these trials do that. Now, the thing is, too, is something about unanswered prayers that allows you to record your problems. Sometimes it's good for you to get to the place where here's Paul recording a failure of his. He said, hey, I didn't get this thing answered. Plus, he had to admit that he had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan, if this thing is recorded. But guess what? You think about this thing right here. Sometimes it keeps others from getting discouraged. Y'all, I'm one of these type of people with certain people. I just don't share things with certain people. I talk to you and stuff like that, but I'm not good about talking about certain things. But I'm learning sometimes as you get older, if the situation's right, it's good to let people know that you're going through some stuff and that you've had some troubles and stuff like when the situation's right. Why? Because sometimes you gain understanding by listening to something someone else has already gone through. And you say, hey, I'm not so crazy. I may not be losing my mind. So-and-so, he's a godly man and he's went through something like that right there. And I think he told me that for a reason. So that must be something God's trying to show me to give me a little understanding. What I'm telling you is oftentimes, it don't hurt you sometimes just to admit you got some failures. Not confessing your sins. The Bible says in James 5, the Bible talks about how in one of these days they're going to be confessing their faults. Well, there's nothing wrong with us confessing our faults to each other. You can say, hey, I've got an area right here I tend to do this to help you get along with somebody better. Not a sin, a fault. Here's Paul recording something here to help somebody else through their discouragement. Sometimes I think we just keep things hidden and say, I'm just not going to talk about that. When oftentimes God let us go through that and He said, I let you go through it. I want you to talk about it because they're going through something bad. And they need your experience to help them through what they're going through. Y'all, oftentimes we're going through situations now where some people are going through some really rough things. And they may need you to be able to sympathize with them. And say, man, I know it is tough. You know, we may not have the same thing you got going on, but we got some stuff going on too. And, you know, God's having to get us through it this way and stuff. This is a time where we have to understand sometimes you may have to just record that problem like the Apostle Paul did. Say, I've got infirmities, I've got all kinds of things going on too. We're all a soup sandwich. Why? But God's going to get us through it. And you know what? That thing right there, even though you have to suffer through unanswered prayer, oftentimes, in the right time, you need to let folks know that you've got troubles too. I believe that. Here's another thing too. There's a suffering for power. Now, in verse number 9, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, this is something here that's just, this is a hard statement. This is one of these things in Pauline doctrine is tough. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities? That, why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know why a lot of people don't have the power of God on them? Not that they're not saved, but it's different from being saved and having God's power on your life. We grumble in what Paul and some of these other Christians gloried in. Paul had learned in what state he's in to be content. He learned to glory, give God glory for every single thing that went on and not get burnt out and not blow up about the whole thing. Paul said, hey, this is something here that I can literally glory in. So sometimes you have to suffer for power. The thing that we need to understand is this. Oftentimes, there's two ways of lightening a burden. Are for, you know, getting things off of you. You can either lighten the burden or you can increase the strength of the person who's bearing the burden. The thing that we got to understand is God wants to strengthen you. But His method oftentimes isn't in the world. A lot of times in the world we say, we need to take this off of them. Now we need to pray that that's taken off of them. No, you need to pray that God will give them the strength to get through it.
That's it.
Oftentimes we're trying to get people out of their trouble, out of their trouble. You're praying their thorn away. We need to say, God give them power. God give them strength. So they won't rely on their own strength. You know what a lot of things that's going on in this world? People are realizing you can't do it on your own. You better have the power of God. You better rely on God. And I tell you this right here, when He does it, it's done right. I can't tell you how many things I have messed up in my life. I mean, trying to put my hands in it, not praying about it, saying, or we'll do this. We'll do things and after it's already done, say, God, I want you to bless it. That's the easiest thing to do. We've done it in our own power, but if you'll pray about something beforehand, say, God, please, please help us, Lord. We need your strength. We need your power. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Rest upon Him. Now, you think about this. Is God's power able to rest on you? You know, a lot of times we get unsturdy on things and stuff like God saying, now, if you wouldn't move to the right and to the left, this thing would have the balance on you. But oftentimes God tried to put His power, and He said, no, I want to go this way. The Lord said, hold on just a minute now. It needs to be able to rest on you. See, you're talking about rest and easy and rest on things. Well, see, we don't think about it like that. We say, well, why is it worded that His power may rest upon you? Well, Look, if I had my little boy can hop on my back, and you know, if I went straight, he could rest on my back, and the ride would be comfortable. I could take him to the car or something like that. But man, if I was bouncing over here, bouncing over here, maybe just going all over, it'd be hard for him to hang on, wouldn't it? Well, not to say that God can't hang on to you, but what I'm saying is worded like this. When you try to go your way, that power has to, it's in Christ, it's set up for a certain way, and God's power has to rest on you. And the way it rests on you is this right here. Whether I'm going through a good time, whether I'm going through a bad time, whether I'm having sufferings, whether I'm having a great day or a bad day, Lord, I'm just going on through here with you, and I'm trusting you, and I'm following you, and I'm yielding to you. And you know what that'll do? That'll let that power rest on you instead of you resting with God. There's a difference in R-E-S-T and W-R-E-S-T. Like some people rest the Scriptures, twist them. Don't twist, don't turn, just go straight with the Lord. Now, I hope that makes sense, but he's realizing this thing here. God's strengthening him to handle what he's going to bring him through. Then also you have some hidden blessings in this suffering for power. Number one is public. The thing that you got to understand is he says, my grace, that's something he has now, is currently sufficient for thee. So you know what we do oftentimes? We're praying for things. We want this and we want the other thing. God, I want this. And he's saying, hey, I've already given you what you need right now. My grace is sufficient for you. You have what you need in Christ now. Guess what we have? We have gifts. We got the gift of salvation. You've got that. You've got everything, all the blessings that come along with being saved. You've already got that, but it's in Christ. The trouble is when we try to go outside of Christ to get what we need that's only found in Christ. My grace is sufficient. We say, Lord, I need, if I only had this, Lord, or if I had the other thing, and you put them, you know what you get these ideas in your mind and say, if I only had that, or if I only could do this, and if I only could, and God said, hey, I've already given you the grace. I've given you what you need. Just rely on me, rest in me, and realize I'm taking you somewhere. If you'll keep doing right, keep yielding to me, I will lead you to where you're supposed to go. We can't see. The world's dark. If we'll take His hand and say, God, I'm resting you. I'm resting on your power. I know I can't see what's going to happen 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 3 years from now, whatever. But God, I'm going to hold your hand. You're the light. I'm just going to follow you. And guess what? As you follow Him, His grace is sufficient to take you through those things that you can't see. Amen. The thing we've got to understand is you've already got what you need in Christ.
Right.
It's so easy to say, if I only had that. And the Lord's saying, hey, I'm giving you some balance here. There's some hidden blessings publicly. Guess what? Out in man's eyes, man, a lot of times we can't see that we already have what we need. Then you got some private things. You think about oftentimes if you knew what people were really going through in private, you'd have a lot more compassion on them. We've got a lot of bitterness going on, like you was talking about, and a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of things, and Christians are backbiting and things like that over across this globe. It's just unprecedented, but we don't understand what's going on in the background of people's lives. You don't know what's going on in their lives. So you think about over in the Bible, y'all remember Eli and Hannah, and Hannah's there praying, and her mouth is moving, but no words are coming out, and Eli says, she's drunk. Well, he didn't know what she had going on. She had a serious issue going on. And here's the man of God. I know what God says. No, you don't. You don't even realize. That shows even people who are trying to be so-called servants of God can oftentimes be wrong if you don't understand. That lady had something going on. She was praying. You know what we've got to understand? There are people that's got some things going on deep down, and they've learned how to put a smile on. They've learned how to get around in the crowd. They've learned how to fool you. And guess what? That's their wall they've put up. But y'all, they're going through some hard things. They're going through some sufferings. They're going through some hardships. And they need us to say, hey, I don't understand this. I may not understand what's going on, but I can pray that God will help them. Why Christ said His grace is sufficient. We need to understand if God has so much grace with us, we've got to get to the place where we've got to have some grace with some people. Y'all, there's so much misinformation, propaganda, so many lies going around and stuff like that. A lot of folks do not know what to believe. And you know, the truth of the matter is this. As a whole, the church has gotten so far away from the Bible. So far away from the Bible. Y'all, all it leads to is confusion. We've just got to ask, hey, God, lead them to you. Lead them to the Scriptures. Lead them to the truth. And think why. Because people are only going to find the help they need. All this passage right here has to do with everything that's found in Christ. And I'm telling you, this thing right here is, I believe it's a very important thing. Here's another thing I want to spend the time on this. There's suffering to correct your perception in verse number 10. To say that Paul saw things differently than what Christians, modern Christians see today is an understatement. Paul in verse number 10, this if any time I need to be convicted, all I've got to do is say in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Y'all, that is not anything that we see. Look, infirmities, sicknesses.
That's right.
Now, as I go through this, you're going to see it's not the same thing as what oftentimes we'll read into it. But what I'm showing you is this. He's taking pleasure in reproaches. That's when people are rough on him and things like that. In necessities. He gets to the place where he's got needs and stuff like that. He's realizing there's a reason for it. That helps it all. Now here's some things. When he was weak in Acts chapter number 9, verse number 25, when his friends had to let him, he was getting persecution, and his friends had to let him down out of the window, out of the basket right there. You know what you'll find out? That gave others the opportunity to participate. He had all these things he's going through was plural. He said infirmities, plural. Reproaches, plural. Necessities, plural. But guess what? When he went through that, that gave other people an opportunity to participate in his life. How many times has God, when you got weakened down, has God used that weakness to give somebody else an opportunity to step in and show you a friend you didn't even probably realize you had somebody cared so much about you? God uses people in their weak points. You can read through the book of Judges. Here's just a few things. Othniel was a younger brother. And he was used in chapter 3, verse 9, big time. Shamgar had only an ox goad in chapter 3, verse 31, and God used that majorly. I mean, you think about some of these things here. Here was Deborah, and in the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to participate in the battle under the Old Testament comedy. But guess what? God used her in chapter 4, verse 4. You know what? That's the thing about men and women. People are so out of balance. I had a guy one time. He said, "Well, I just wouldn't have a woman pray in church because it says let the women keep silent in the churches." I'll tell you something, man. You know what makes me mad? That guy was way older than me, so I didn't really say anything. But I thought this right here. You idiot. The whole context is tongues, speaking in tongues. That whole thing is talking about speaking in tongues. That's not even the so you got people who actually think they're going by a Bible verse, not letting a woman pray in church. So you know what the very thing I do? Make sure every now and then if I've got a woman in a pray, let her pray. Why? There's nothing wrong with stuff like that. God will use that. You get to the place where you use the Bible to stomp on people. That's not what the Bible's for. That is not what it's for. You, the Bible helps you when it's used correctly. Jael had a nail, just a little nail, in Judges 4, verse 21, and defeated the enemy with just a little small nail. What I'm showing you is these little things. You see what something that's insignificant in the world's eyes, God can take it and use it. And you say, I'm just insignificant, and how in the world could God use me? God can use you. Quit laughing at me. He was a big nail, I know. Samson had a jawbone in chapter 15. Samson, I mean, I love reading that thing, but you think about that, right? Everybody thinks the strength of Samson, but the whole thing is that God let him pick up a jawbone and whip a thousand men with a jawbone. How did that jawbone stay without breaking? The thousand times? Now, come on. Now, you think about people talk about Samson's strength. His strength was in the Lord.
Amen.
Anything that he had was in the Lord. That jawbone didn't break. Why? Because the Lord kept those bones together. You know who's keeping your bones together right now? God. not your methods and not your safety and everything else. I don't care how safe you are, if it's not God having His hand on you, it's not going to do any good.
That's right.
You can preach to your blue in the face, but if God don't have His power on you, it don't make any good. You can pray to your blue in the face, but if God don't have His power on you, it's no good. You can try to serve God in any capacity you want to, but without His power, it's no good. We've gotten to the place as a whole where people are so prosperous. People say, well, right now, yep, man, the world's so prosperous, people don't even have to leave their home and they can have everything delivered to their home.
That's right.
And people think, well, we don't need God. You say, well, they may not say that out loud. Some of them are now.
Yeah.
They're to the point now where some of them are saying they don't. I tell you what, you need God.
Amen.
You need, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, this world would literally melt.
Yes.
It'd just fall apart. Well, the Bible says through Him all things consist. Colossians chapter 1. He holds He's holding the molecules of your body together.
That's right.
If it wasn't for God, you would be nothing and less than nothing.
That's right.
That's the fact that God Almighty would have something to do with man. David looks around and says, when I behold the sun, the moon, and the stars, he said, what is man? Thou art mindful of him. The fact that any one of us can have a conversation with God Almighty, just go to the throne whenever you're ready. Wouldn't that be something? You can't do that with a king. You can't go in with a magistrate and say, hey, I want to talk to him right now. But you can go to God Almighty, the one that created everything, and say, hey, I want to have an hour-long conversation with you. And he'll listen to everything you've got to say. Man, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You see, your perception changes. He got to the place where he had spiritual passions. He says in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. He's not taking place. He got to the place where he didn't have to have a good time. He didn't have to have his bills paid. He didn't have to have a nice home, a nice vehicle, a good job. He got to the place where he didn't have to have that. That's good. If you've got it, that's great. That's wonderful. But if you can glory in things that are spiritual and even bad things, he's realizing this. No matter whether I'm sick or whether I'm well, I'm going through it all with the Lord Jesus Christ, and a walk with Jesus Christ, even sick, is better than a walk without Him. Well, as long as you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got everything you need. You've got all the grace, all the gifts, all the power you need in Christ. You think about letting other people participate. We need to let other people participate where they can. Y'all, sometimes it don't hurt you to let somebody else help you.
That's right.
Sometimes it just humbles us down to realize, hey, I need the help of someone else. I was listening to a story about this lady. She done a great work. She was a part of these Meals on Wheels deal. And man, I got to get her name, but I was listening to this testimony. You would not believe at the lives this lady touched. Just taking people meals. And she would sit with them and talk to them about the Lord and things like that. Man, this lady, there were so many people who were touched by this lady. And you say, well, what could I do for the Lord? There's something out there for each one of us to do for God. And you know what you do? A lot of times you just allow someone else to bring you a meal or something. Allow someone else just to... Some people send me text messages with Bible verses, and I can't tell you how on time. Sometimes I'm looking around like... what it is the Holy Spirit seeing me, and that Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that Word, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit knew what I needed when I needed it.
That's right.
Comes in right on time. He's always on time. 4 days late, always on time. here's another one. He suffered for Christ's preeminence. In verse number 10, he says, in distresses for Christ's sake. You see how each time you got number one, you got a sanctifying power. We're talking about the power of Christ. You got the sanctifying power of sorrow. Now, sorrow oftentimes is like fire. Do you know that fire can melt wax and it can burn straw, but at the same time, fire can harden clay? It's got different things that it does. You got to get to the place. The Bible says the Word of God is like a fire in Jeremiah chapter 20. The Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ is like a fire. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. So you know what you got to understand? If you're doing it for Christ's sake, the fire does what the fire is supposed to do. It can melt away things it's supposed to melt away. But if you're going against that fire, That fire can harden you, like it can harden clay. You got to understand that there's a sanctifying power that has to do with you doing things for Christ's sake and with Him in mind. The cross, that part of suffering with Christ and Christ in mind, and letting it kill off the old man, that has a sanctifying fire to it, where you're actually in the fire with the Lord. And going through that fire with the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3, if you'll notice, everything that had them bound was taken away in the fire. That fire can either loose you or it can bind you. Why? Because if you're going against the grain of the fire, that fire can harden you.
That's right.
That's where that thing of repentance comes in. You come in there and guess what? If God can grant you repentance if you acknowledge the truth, and that fire can cut away all kind of things that's held you bound. You got to understand there's a power that comes through going things for Christ's sake, and it loosens you from things that are holding you. Oftentimes, there's things on this world will hold you, and people hold grudges on you, and people, there's all kind of things. And look, sin will hold you. That's one reason why preachers preach on sin like they do. They don't want you to be healed. I'll tell you something about sin. The scary thing about sin is this. Y'all know that, y'all ever take like maybe just some real, real, real thin string, like those string when I was a kid. I don't know why I do this, but my sock, I'd turn them into quitters. Those little strings in your sock, you know, you pull those strings out. I'd wrap them around my finger one time. I don't know why I done that. I know it's wrong, but anyway, you turn them, then your socks became quitters. They wouldn't hang on to your leg no more. They just quit, and they just, before long, they'd be halfway down your foot. And I called them quitters. So you could wrap those strings around your finger one time and break it. But you could take that weak string and you could wrap it two or three times around your fingers and you could not break that string. You know, that's how sin is. You do it one time and you can break free from it. You do it twice and you might with a little bit more strength, you get to wear it more and more and more, that thing will hold you down. Before long, you're doing it constantly. Why? It's got you bound. It's got you bound. So you know what oftentimes happens? The Lord said, the only way to get that thing off, we're going to burn it off. We're going to put you through some suffering to release you from that. Now, that's not God trying to hurt you. That's God trying to help you. And there's nothing like getting free from something that's held you bound for years and years and years. Some people, they'll have bitterness toward a loved one. And they'll get to where, or they'll have bitterness toward a church member or something. That church member will get to the place where they're about to die. And you know what happens? That burns off a whole lot of bitterness, don't it? That burns off a whole lot of hatred and animosity. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God does not do stuff like that. He don't allow stuff like that to harm you. He does that to sweeten your fellowship and to get things out of that picture that would have never got out. Never got out had that thing not happened. What I'm telling you is those things happen because you have a loving, understanding, kind God who has eternity in mind. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God I've got a God that's like that one. Man, just to get things out of the air, out of your life, I'm going to tell you, there's a releasing. It's something about forgiveness that releases you. Unforgiveness will hold you down, and it holds down the other person. But man, when you release that thing and have a forgiveness in your heart, it does something to you. It releases you in a way that only if you went through it, you know what I'm talking about. But God oftentimes will take you through a sorrowful fire to burn those things away from you. Also, it keeps you from relying on self. In verse number 10, he said, when I'm weak, then I am not strong. He gets to the place where he realizes he is weak. Sometimes weakness is perfected in strength. Now, you think about this right here. Oftentimes, a strong man is likely to be a self-reliant man. I've got some things that I've got written down here. Now, you think about some of those people. You ever met somebody who's extremely smart? Some of these people who are extremely smart, they're just jerks. They think their intellect can cover over the fact that they're just hard to be around, that they're just not understanding or anything. But I'm a smart person. See, the strength of their intellect, they think, covers the fact that they're mean to other people. You got some people who've got a lot of money and things like that. They think that covers for the fact of their rudeness and shortness and things like that. Now, not all people are like that, I understand it, but I'm just showing you sometimes a strength in someone's life oftentimes will try to be a cover for so many weaknesses. You take people in the Bible. Abraham was a man that had all kinds of spiritual strength, but you know what it turned out to be? He had some falsehood in him too. He lied some. You know what? Noah was a strong man in the Lord, but guess what? He had excess of wine, didn't he? You got Jacob's. He was known for his worldliness. Moses had an unchecked zeal about him sometimes. You've got Elijah's faithless despair. Sometimes he got under the juniper tree, and before long he's comparing himself with others, which was not wise. You got David's lust and murder. Solomon's just sensual. He had a luxurious life and he had sensuality galore. Guess what? These men had times of great strength, but they had times of great weakness. You know what? Oftentimes, it's our strong points where we fail God. It's not our weakness. You ever notice you'll have some weakness in your life? You got some things you know that are weaknesses. That's not where you fail God at. Because you're relying on God. God, I need you here. I'm weak here. And then you think you're strong. You let your guard down in your strength. And that's where you fail at.
That's it.
That's why oftentimes God has to get us to a place where we're weak, where we'll be strong in Him. It's all in Him. Here's another thing. Keeps you learning about weakness leading to strength. Weakness leads to strength. I've got some examples here about a weakness leading to strength. And I thought about this guy. I read a story about two guys. One guy was really, really wise, really smart, and they both go to a different country, and they part of their jobs were to go to a different country, and they had to get all kinds of information about this country and come back and report back to the government and things like this. So the real smart guy, he goes, and he don't ask anybody for any advice. He don't ask anybody for any directions or anything, and he don't hardly get anything done because he's so smart, he's so prideful, he won't ask anyone for help. But another guy, he's nowhere near as wise as the other guy, and he goes and he asks for guidance. He said, "Hey, I need some help. Where could I find this at? Where could I find the other thing?" You know what? He realizes he has a weakness, and he's relied on some guidance. You know what we've got to understand? Our intellect, your intellect's not going to figure out what all is going on in life. If you're relying on your intellect, buddy, you're going to be confused. You're going to get so to the point to where you're so frustrated, where you get to the place where you're going to get downtrodden, I can tell you. But if you'll say, "God, I don't have any wisdom of my own. I don't have any understanding. I don't have any intellect. Lord, I'm going to have Your wisdom." You know what that'll do? That'll put your mind at ease and put your mind at rest. Because the thing is God knows everything.
Amen.
The secrets belong to God, and God is the only one who really knows what's going on. Other people, you know what they're doing? They're figuring it out as they go.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't have to be like that. We can just say, "God, I don't have to know what's going on because You know it all, Lord. And I'm just going to rest on You and rely on You and look to You." I'll tell you what, that'll take a lot of pressure off of you. It'll take a lot of pressure off of you. Another thing about being cautious in this, one thing about weakness, and I just made this a little note on the side, and I thought about this. If you got a back trouble, if you ever work with anybody outside around farm equipment and stuff like that, the man with back trouble, he's not going to hurt his back. He's kind of weak in his back, so you know what he'll do? He'll use the tractor or something like that to pick that old heavy equipment up. But a lot of times in our strength, we end up hurting ourselves and hurting others because we know we can do it. I can do it. And you get out there and hurt yourself. One time we was working with Daddy out around some tractor equipment. And me and my brother, we'd always try to see who was the strongest. So Daddy had a piece of equipment. He wanted us to move around by the barn. Instead of hooking the chain to the tractor and pulling it out of the barn like this right here where the tractor could hook to it. No, we'll grab it. So here we are like this right here, and we're trying to pick that thing up, you know, just straining. Then I hurt my back. Well, guess what? I hurt the whole work day because I hurt my back. Now, we thought we were strong enough. The trouble is, you can think all day long that you're strong enough, But brother, there's things only Christ can lift. There's burdens only Christ can lift. There's bitterness only Christ can alleviate. There are things that only the Lord Jesus Christ knows. And if you don't lean on Him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hurt yourself because you think you're strong enough. And you're going to hurt others who are trying to get work done around you.
That's right.
I know it. I know how to do. And God says, nope, you really don't. I know how, and all the wisdom you need's in me if you'll just come to me for it. The trouble is, we say, well, the Lord, I asked for wisdom. He didn't get it. He hadn't given it in your timing yet. The trouble is, the truth is like a beach ball. You ever sat on a beach ball in a pool? And you can, as long as you stay straight, you can hold it down. But if you lay to the left or right, it's going to come out. The truth will come out. It just takes a little while. You know what you got to do? Let the Lord, who is the truth, do things in His timing.
That's right.
In our lives. And I believe that'll be a help to you. Also, you always learn to lean on the Savior. In verse number 10, what the thing that Paul is getting to the place where he's abandoned the idea of doing anything by himself. We've got to get to the place where we've got to get self out of the way. I know I've said this, I was repeating, but y'all, I'm trying to tell you this right here. Peter was called a rock in the Bible. Alright, but the Peter of Gethsemane, here's Peter, yes, he's a rock, but he's like a crumbling rock. You ever went out there and like in a sand pile or something, got one of those sand rocks, you could crumble it? That's kind of how he starts out. But you know what? If you take some of those old clay rocks and things like that, and you roll them up and you put them to some fire, you know what will happen? Those things will be hardened like gravel. And they're hard to break. Here's Peter in Gethsemane. He's relying on his own strength, and he takes the sword out and he cuts the ear off of Malchus. But then, that strong Peter denies the Lord Jesus Christ and cusses out a little maid.
That's right.
But you know what happens after he went through those sufferings? That same Peter, he's in the same body, but he's not the same anymore once you get over there in the book of Acts. That same Peter that did those things is now relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, and because he's relying on the Lord, he gets to the place where he starts pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ over and over. They say, we'll beat you if you keep talking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, hey, we got to please God rather than men. You know what's going to give you the strength whenever the time comes where you have to make hard choices? And choices as we get closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, choices are going to come in your life where you have to make it and you have to say, is it the Lord Jesus Christ and His way, or am I going to go the easy way? The Simon Peter realized it was easier to go his own way and fight it his own way. But look, he made a mess of things. But whenever you rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, you see what He can do in and through you. They said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. Guess who God was using? Weak things, base things. You say, well, look, you don't know what I've done in my past, and you don't know what all I've done. Okay, now you're getting to a place God can use you. It's whenever you say, you don't know who I am, and you don't know what I've done, and you don't, that's where God's not going to use you. The thing is, you've got to get to the place where you have nothing, nothing outside of Jesus Christ. If you'll notice in this text here, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ may rest upon me. He says, distresses for Christ's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ is the emphasis for His suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ is the emphasis for Him to get the power He needs to go through what's coming. It's the Lord Jesus.
You think about what
He's going through on these sufferings here and stuff like that. I thought about the power of Christ resting upon somebody. The ark in the Old Testament is an amazing thing to study. But you know that ark was made with hands. That ark had gold, and that ark had, you know, some neat things about it, but it was all made by man's hands. Now, you know, there was a place when the ark of God left. You know what they said? The glory of God is absent. It's gone. Now, you know what made that ark something?
that had the power of God connected to it. The Bible talks about how the glory of God would rest upon that ark.
So you know what? There's nothing significant at all about these bodies. Well, these bodies are fallen.
Right.
But if you can get the power of God to rest upon you, if you can get connected with the power of God, we can get something done. You say, how do you get connected with the power of God? What's the... Let the Scriptures do their work in your life. And let God have His way in your life through the sufferings you're going through. Paul had bodily infirmities. And guess what? God used him. Why? Because he got to the place where he realized it's not a strong body that God has to have. It's not a strong intellect that God has to have. He said he counted all those things but done. God is not saying, I want you weak. God's saying, I want you strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's trying to make you strong, but the thing that we have to realize as Christians is God wants you strong in Him, not in yourself. That flesh, I'm telling you, that flesh is going to try its best to get in your way. I'm going to give you two things about the what led into the secret is perfection and closing. He had the power of restraint. He keeps saying, in Him, in Him. Now, the issue is that God cannot trust you with His power. I hope every one of you want the power of God. I hope the power of God's on your marriage, on your church, on your family. We need the power of God. Why? Because without the power of God, everything you've got is not going to last. Marriages aren't going to last without the power of God. Relationships aren't going to last without the power of God. Churches aren't going to last without the power of God. But the issue is, if it's not gotten the right way, you will misuse it. One of the most, the texts I have to read often is this right here in Luke chapter number 9. Some of His disciples want the power of God. They said, Lord, wilt Thou at this time that we command fire come down as Elias? And we'll burn them up. They was ready to burn them up, man. Now you know what the Lord said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of.
That's right.
You know what we would do if we had the power of God unrestrained, if it wasn't in the right place and where I'm going to with this right here, you would abuse it. You would take the power of God on your life and you would give yourself everything and you would give yourself every whim. You would answer every prayer the way you wanted answered. You would do everything the way you wanted done. And you know you would. So you know what the Lord does? The Lord places His power in the only safe place there is, and it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty has placed unlimited power in a certain place.
Right.
And it's in our text right here. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one trustworthy enough to handle it. So you know what you have? You've got the power of resurrection. And it comes from the power of the new life, resurrection. The power of resurrection, a new life, comes from the power of restraint. The power of restraint is this. You're going to come to places in your life where you want to do something. You have to check that flesh and say, is this me? Is this flesh or is this faith? Is this the old man or is this the resurrected life? Answering this thing right here.
That's right.
When you come to the place in your life, if you want God, if you really want God's power in your life, you've got to get to the place where you want Christ to get glory for what's done. So I've heard that 100 times. Okay, well, are you applying it? The reason why, y'all, that's an easy thing to hear, but the hardest thing is to actually apply it. And say, God, is this something where you can get glory in? God, is this something that will honor you? Is this something where you can get praise at? If you'll check things by that right there, I tell you what, it'll alleviate a whole lot of confusion. All you got to do is come to a thing and say, Lord, I know all power I need to get through everything is invested in You.
Yeah.
Now, is this something, whether it's suffering, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, there's good things God entrusts you with, but you say, Lord, is this thing in You or is this outside of You? And if it's outside of Him, you can leave it alone. You don't even have to worry your little head with it. You can lay on your pillow at night and say, I don't have to let that bother me because that's not in Christ and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in that thing. So, man, that's going to lead to suffering right there. Well, you'd rather suffer with the Lord Jesus Christ than have all the blessings in the world that are temporary with the devil. Y'all, Christians need to get to the place where they realize, all of it, I know myself included, if you want that power is invested in Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ is dwelling in you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God.
And the only way to get that power is to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may take some suffering. You may go, you look, I'm telling you, I wish I didn't have to say this right here. But you're going to get to the place in your life where you think no one cares. You're going to get to the place in your life where you think no one's listening to you. You're going to get to the place in your life where you think it's just you and you alone. And that's where you're wrong.
That's right.
Why? The Bible says, have this mind which is also in that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul talked about the fellowship of His suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. And you know what He did? Before He gets the crown, He had to get the cross. He suffered. And because He suffered, other people have been blessed throughout ages. The age of ages be blessed. Why? That comes through sufferings. And here you are right now. And oftentimes, the world, the flesh, and the devil say, man, you must be doing something wrong because you're having these hardships, or you've had this bad thing happen, or you've got this, and some of you got mental things that go on. We've all got battles somewhere. And that flesh will tell you, now see, there's your God right there. And you know what? That's the devil saying, yea, hath God said?
Yeah.
You know what? The Lord's telling you in His Word, I've suffered. And because I did, that don't mean I'm always going to get you out of it. That means I'm going to give you power to get through it. Now here we've got things that's going to come up in our life, and they're coming. You know who's going to get you through it? The Lord Jesus is.
Right.
You know who you can rely on? The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know who's going to give you what you need in the time when it comes when you need it? It's going to be the Lord.
That's it.
Men will forsake you. Men will fail you. Men will forget about you. Men will lack forgiveness towards you and things like that. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord Jesus Christ will always be there for you. And I want to point y'all to the Lord each Sunday, because this text right here, complete through suffering, you're going to have sufferings in your life. But you know what it's there to do? It's there to make you perfect. There to make you complete in the Lord.
That's right.
And God's able to help you. I hope that was a blessing to you and a help to you.
Right.
If you will, Brother Carl, would you close us out?